down those cards.
Fortune tellers!
Cards mean different things at different times.
Do you know anything about tarot cards?
Oh, a crystal ball.
Gather around, children.
Listen to the mystic.
Journey.
Podcast.
I'm no mystic.
Welcome back to the Mystic Pools Journey podcast. I'm Anna. This is Ruth.
Howdy.
And today we have a special guest, Ellie Remo. I would love Ellie to introduce herself for all of our listeners who are meeting you for the first time. And of course, please let us know how to properly pronounce your name.
So I'm Ellie Remo, or Ellie Remo-Tigue, whatever you prefer, or just Ellie. I'm a mystic advisor. I have a focus on astrology and tarot, as well as some spell work. I am a Hellenic witch, so I have a background in Greek mythology and all of that, which ties in with my astrology work as well.
Super sick. So we know that everybody's journey into mysticism is unique, and we love to hear other stories. So we'd love to hear how you found your way into astrology, into your specific practice, tarot, and mysticism in general.
Yeah. So I've always been interested in like spirituality. It's interesting because I grew up like being aware of it. I would see like certain members, like my aunts and my grandmothers, like studying astrology and practicing tarot even. But then on the other side of my family, super Christian. And so it was a weird balance for me of like really wanting to explore more. But my mother was always like, no, you're too young, that type of thing. And then in my 20s, I was finally out on my own, and I just like got an astrology or a tarot deck, actually. I got a tarot deck and like some crystals, and that's kind of how I started diving into it all. And from there, it was very natural that I just became like so into tarot and was fascinated. And even when I was younger, I used to like steal my aunt's astrology books and read them. But my relationship with astrology is a lot different now than when I was younger. But it's always been important to me. But it was during a time in my life that I was kind of going through it, like really hard, like self-care, mental health stuff, that I like started really diving into all of this, and alongside therapy and such. It was just so helpful for me to feel like that greater connection to the earth and the world around me. So it's always been something that was very much there for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like that sounds super similar to my personal story as well. I had an uncle who was super into tarot, and so I grew up Christian as well. I feel like the deconstructed Christianity to tarot and astrology pipeline is strong. It's a great little vessel to move to after religion to kind of to fill that spiritual void, if you will. I just wanted to expand a little bit on, so you mentioned that you're specifically Hellenic astrology. Is that correct? Am I saying that term correctly?
Yeah. So I'm a Hellenic, like pagan, but I'm a Hellenistic astrologer. Yeah. So those are like, they relate to each other for me, but Hellenistic astrology actually expands out past just Greece. So there's a little bit of a difference there.
Okay, amazing. Is there anything that specifically drew you to that side of the practice when you were like exploring? Because we know there's like so many options for someone who's starting out, and it's like, we just love to hear about like how you found that particular focus.
Yeah, so it was my interest in like the Hellenic gods that actually brought me to Hellenistic astrology. So literally when I was talking about like getting my tarot deck and getting into all of that, I also just remembered my love of the goddess Aphrodite, like from my younger years. You know, we all hear about like Greek mythology, and I was just always drawn to that goddess. And when I found out that people could worship those gods, I was just like, okay. So I just started like giving her offerings, getting her a little statue. And from there, I just fell into just like studying the other deities and the culture at large. And then when I found out there's like an astrological practice that was practiced within that like ancient Greek community, I'm just like, oh, I want to learn more about that. And I want to study that instead of like the pop astrology that I've been into for most of my life.
Amazing. Ruth can attest to this. When I first started going through your TikToks, I'd only seen like three, and I immediately texted her. I was like, I'm getting strong Aphrodite vibes. And like, I didn't even know. I hadn't even made it to any of the ones where you talked about her or any of the gods. And I was just like, strong Aphrodite vibes. I hope she's cool with me like thinking that, because like, that's what I'm getting. That's what I got through all the vids.
I love that. That makes me so happy.
Could you speak a bit more about what that relationship between yourself and Aphrodite kind of looks like? What does the specifics of that kind of pan out to be?
Yeah, so I started my worship of Aphrodite in like 2017. And at that point, it was really just an admiration. Like when I was first connecting to my spirituality, I would just be like kind of praying and conversing with like the earth and like the stars and the sky. And that was a big part of like my connection. And then when I started connecting with Aphrodite, it felt like the same. Like I would just kind of thank her for things, leave her little pieces of chocolate. But it's been a long time since then. And it's interesting because when I connect to other deities from my practice, it's such a quick thing. But that time of like taking like 5 years just leaving offerings for Aphrodite was very much like a courting period of my spirituality, which I think is interesting. Yeah, it's interesting for like a love goddess. So for a long time, it was really just me like appreciating this goddess who I had like really loved my whole life. And then at this point, it's a little bit different because now I can do things like light candles for petitions, ask her to do things for me. And I do tarot readings with her and try to connect to her. And I do tarot readings for other people who want to connect with her. And I like dedicate my self-care practices to her. So it's very much connected to my mundane still, but also has become something really deep and spiritual.
That's super cool to hear. Yeah, like I feel like a lot of people we've talked to, it still felt like, you know, having, you know, a goddess that you worship feels like such a big deal and a big like kind of hullabaloo of it. But it sounds like a lot of it's just intertwined into your daily routines and that sort of thing. That's very cool to hear.
Yeah. And that's definitely how my spirituality is now. I think when I was first connecting, it felt like this big thing. I would see all the signs all the time. But at this point, it feels very grounded and it feels better to be grounded versus I definitely went through those times of like, oh my God, I'm doing tarot readings for gods. And now at this point, I'm just like, people have always been connecting with the gods. It's a part of humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something we've learned, you know, in the inception of this podcast. Since the beginning of time, people are going to find magic, you know, through everything, basically. So for astrology beginners, what are the kind of the key pieces of information that you would recommend they focus on first to get started and not feel too overwhelmed?
So I think if you're getting started in astrology, here's the thing, like I have had to unlearn so many like pop astrology habits. So I think my first thing is like figure out the meanings of like the signs, planets, and you can worry about the houses later, but just the signs and the planets as they originally were. And you could decide what of modern astrology you want to implement, because I still have modern elements that I implement, but you can figure out like where the backgrounds of these planetary meanings and these sign meanings actually come from. Because when you're learning astrology in like a passive way, it's like, oh, the signs mean this, but they never tell you why. So when you start learning the why, it's just like with tarot, like you learn the suits and then you learn a little numerology and then you can make stories of every tarot card. And with astrology, when you learn why the signs are named that and what they mean and why they mean that, you can literally remember them and make stories of them versus just trying to remember, oh, Tauruses are this for no good reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's so true. It does seem so similar to tarot. Like tarot as itself, when you look at it as a beginner, it's like, holy shit, how the heck am I going to tackle all this? But really, once you start adding those tools in your toolkit with numerology, with, you know, getting personal experiences with the cards and that sort of thing, it really becomes, you know, a natural second habit. It's just kind of, you know, sitting in the uncomfortable feelings for a bit of not knowing while you build up that toolkit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a lot of learning within life and spirituality is like that, where it can be very daunting at first, but it's all meant to be kind of explorative and playful too.
Yeah, playful is a great word to introduce into that.
I think so. I think a lot of people tend to, like you said, like at the beginning, everything is very big and serious and intense. And you're like, the deities play too. That's like half of life is having fun. You're like, it's a balance like anything. It doesn't always have to be so heavy. And that can actually make it easier to learn when you can like learn through play, which is what kids do. When you think about it, you're like, that's how they learn how things work in life. They're like, I'm just going to see if I can walk today. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Exactly. And when you're a kid, you're learning so much more. So it's like when you can tap into that childlike interest, then you can start learning in the way you did as a child and like learn a new thing every day.
One thing that I would love to touch on is just for anybody who is interested in Hellenistic astrology versus modern astrology, do you have any kind of like
high level overview of like what the differences are or like what they maybe should look for. Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to astrology, I'm going to start with like what modern astrology is, I guess. So basically, Hellenistic astrology is from the Hellenistic period. So it's known to be the grandfather of modern astrology. So even though there are differences, a lot of what is practiced in modern astrology has some kind of background in Hellenistic astrology. But throughout like the Christianization and such, they were basically like, no more astrology. That's bad. We're not going to do that. But then in like 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, people were suddenly like really wanting to connect to spirituality, but wanting to do it in a way that didn't scare people. So they were like, okay, we're going to revamp astrology, but we're going to make it sun sign now so everyone can know theirs. They don't need their birth sign. And we're also going to make it psychological so that we don't have to look at the scary parts of astrology. But Hellenistic astrology was actually more like tarot in that it was meant to be a divination tool. Like, there's one house that tells you about who you are as a person, but everything else is meant to tell you about your entire life, the other people in it, the other things in it. So if I were to look at the main difference between Hellenistic and modern, it's that modern astrology is based more around this is who you are as a person, and Hellenistic astrology is like, this is the map of your life and you can use it to direct your life.
I mean, that like completely changes the game. Because it's like, now that I know the differences, I'm like, oh, that's wildly different than anything I've touched on.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think there's room for both, and I just am personally more interested in Hellenistic astrology because you can still look at the psychological aspects of things, but it just, there's so much more to it as well.
So how do you layer astrology into your personal tarot practice?
Yeah, so like I said, I started out with tarot, and it's interesting because I was always layering astrology in, but now that I'm more trained and practiced in astrology, I feel a little bit more solid around it. So like when I first started, I kind of layered it in with the traditional like, oh, this card is this sign. And, you know, if someone's doing a reading, I'm like, this could represent like a Capricorn in your life, that kind of thing. But the more I have like studied, the more I'm kind of breaking free of like the traditional, this card always has to mean this sign, because it's just so much more fun and playful to figure out what my relationship with the cards and the signs are. And like, in a lot of people say, for example, Pisces is the moon, but as an astrologer, that just doesn't make sense to me. So I'm like, no, Cancer is the moon. Like, Cancer is always going to be the moon. You can't take that away. So So one thing is, I'm just like exploring it and being playful with it. And it can be used for timing techniques. Like sometimes I'll draw like a Cancer card, for example. I'm like, oh, this thing might come through in Cancer season. And I even do like combination readings where someone books a tarot reading, but they give me their astrology information. So I'll look at like the kind of astrology information. I'll be like, okay, this is what your birth chart says can come through. Here's the guidance the tarot card has around that occurrence. So I think they work really well together.
That is so much fun. Yeah, it's so fun. Like when you get to the point in your practice where you realize you can kind of just mix and match and make whatever kind of systems you want in these two practices. Because like, you know, you have the Rider-Waite deck and that has astrological correspondences, but the Thoth deck has completely different astrological correspondences. And why can't you as a reader, you know, take your own liberties and do what feels right for you and your own intuition? And it's a great, you know, it's a very freeing point of perspective to come into these practices in.
Do you have a preference of what sort of tarot deck you use? Do you usually stick with Rider-Waite, or do you like to use oracle cards or Thoth, or just new artistic interpretations of Rider-Waite, because there's tons of those?
Yeah, so I've used a lot of decks over the years. Like, I've collected too many. I don't feel super connected to Thoth as much as I've tried. I definitely like tried so much during my earlier years. Everyone's like, this is the coolest deck. And I'm like, it's cool for you. But I don't really love oracle cards so much these days. I really loved them back in the day, but maybe it's about finding ones that I connect with now. Like, now that I'm like not a huge fan of like Dorian Virtue, for example, who made a lot of that.
Yeah, I've been seeing that name come up recently. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. So I think I do like a lot of like Rider-Waite Smith, but I prefer it to be a little different, a little funky. Like, I do find myself like reaching for one that's very traditional just because it's so easy to read for me. But I really love ones that can be a little bit more obscure. Like, I don't mind if they deviate. I know a lot of people hate when they deviate from like the traditional tarot meetings, but I think it's so fun.
Yeah, it is. It's super fun. So it's so fun to see where the artists come from and how they change. It's just, Anna and I both collectively have spent thousands of dollars probably on tarot decks. So
it's too many.
Too many. But is it enough? It will never be.
Never, never.
So what advice would you give to others to start layering in astrology into their own tarot readings? Yeah.
I think my advice would be figure out what signs or planets or however you want to layer it remind you of the cards and make up your own like connections and look at the traditional ones, see how you vibe with those. But if you ever see one and you're like, that doesn't vibe with me, or like, I know someone who's like, the Fool reminds me of Aries, and I'm like, that makes sense because there's a lot of like free, fresh, like bright energy in Aries. So to me, I'm like, if there's something that deviates a little bit, be playful with it. Figure out why that is. Dive into it a little more.
I love it. I love that you're putting so much of an emphasis on play in these two practices, because it just gets so serious so fast so many times. And people use tarot and astrology on a variety of levels and ways. So, you know, but play being a part of every type of those ways is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think astrology in particular can get very serious very fast, so it's good to have some time to also like look at the fun things that you can do with it too.
So from our experience, many people start with either tarot or astrology, and they begin to learn about the other as they deepen their practice. So given your expertise, we'd love to discuss your perspective on the accuracy of tarot versus astrology, and if you'd recommend learning tarot or astrology first.
It's so hard to like pin that down, the accuracy. And I get that question all the time when I'm like, they work together so well and at the same time are very different. Like, they have so many differences and similarities. But the way I generally see it is astrology is more rigid and I see tarot as a little bit more fluid. So I think astrology is better for like, here's what's going to happen, here's how it's going to happen, here's when it can happen. Like, so many people will ask me like a timing question around tarot and I'm like, I want to do that in astrology. But I love using astrology more for guidance, more for like, okay, now that we know the rigidity of what's happening, here's how we can work through that, because astrology doesn't always do that. But then I reach to tarot and I'm like, okay, tarot can help us figure out, give us a little comfort, a little love, a little support there. So I would actually recommend starting with tarot. That's where I started. And I also think it's a little more simple to learn. But if you want to learn both of them at the same time, or, you know, you want to learn them, you want to do astrology first, there's no harm in that. But I do find astrology to be more playful and fluid, which is why I would recommend, or tarot to be more playful and fluid, which is why I would recommend that for beginners.
Yeah, it definitely softens the blow. But if there's anything else, Ellie, that you would like to talk about or discuss, you're more than welcome to. Or
yeah, I think one addition I just wanted to add around my last point is that astrology, even though I said it can be very harsh, it also can be very comforting. Like, the ancient astrologers originally, at least two of them have been quoted in saying that astrology helped them feel closer to the gods and helped them feel like they were ready to weather what comes ahead, even if it's bad and hard. So I think astrology can be really big, and there's a lot of fear-based astrology out there, and it can be weird to like connect with our fate, but it's meant to be a tool that helps us feel more soothed. So if we ever feel like the opposite and we feel like, oh my God, this is so big, this is so scary, I'm drowning, it's time to take a step back and maybe connect with some comforting tarot instead.
I like that. That's a solid piece of advice. I feel like either one of the practices should never be just one thing. They're always, you know, fluidly jiving between two sides of the spectrum here. And that's a piece of comfort as well.
Absolutely. I think so too.
I love it. I like to think of them both as languages.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at
it. Yeah, we're just like, we've now learned like a new dialogue. We've learned a new set of vocabulary to mix in. So they should be able to blend and morph and add more meaning to your life.
but also not to be too serious.
Yeah, I think so too.
Is there anywhere where you want people to check you out, find you? I know we found you on the TikTok. Is there anything else you'd like to promote?
I am over on TikTok and YouTube at EllieRemoTK, and you can find me there and on my website, EllieRemo.com.
Great. Well, it was awesome talking to you, Ellie.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great talking to you too.